This is Fresh Air. There have been hundreds of books about Pablo Picasso, but Time magazine art critic Robert Hughes says there's been no really satisfactory biography until now. Previous biographies written in English tended to be useful but over-adoring or deplorably ignorant. My guests are the author of this new biography, John Richardson, and Picasso's daughter, Paloma Picasso. Richardson was a friend of Pablo Picasso. They met in 1953 when Richardson shared a house with one of the artist's close friends. Richardson says Picasso's life was in turmoil at the time because his mistress, Françoise Gillot, had just left him. Gillot is Paloma's mother. Paloma is now a designer and businesswoman with her own line of scarves, handbags, cosmetics, and perfume. Richardson is a former vice president of Knoedler Galleries and the former head of American operations for Christie's Auction House. His new book is the first in a four-volume biography of Picasso. Volume 1 covers the first 25 years of the artist's life. With so many biographies of Picasso already published, I asked Richardson why he thought another one was necessary.
I found that too many accounts were being written by people who didn't know him, who didn't know the facts, who were distorting things, who were fictionalizing or psychoanalyzing or historicizing or politicizing his life without any respect for the man or his work or the facts of his life.
Paloma Picasso, is there something that you learned from this book that helped you understand your father?
I'm not sure that I discovered him as a person because actually he was not such a mysterious person. I mean, he was very open. So even though you do, I mean, of course, I learned a lot of new facts that I never knew. I think that by knowing him, and I think that's why it's so interesting that John knew him, he was just who he was. He was never pretending to be somebody else than who he was. And that's why I think it's very sad that some people try to portray him as this very, you know, fiendish kind of a person. I think that his flaws were very obvious, but his qualities were many more.
You were his friend. Now you're his biographer. I'm wondering if there are any personality traits that bugged you as a friend that you've forgiven him as an artist and that you understand more now as his biographer. Maybe you could illustrate that with a story.
There are no traits. None of his traits bothered me at all. It seemed to me that he was extraordinarily forbearing, that he needed people around him. He needed to. He was gregarious because he needed to feed off his friends in a way. And when I knew him at any rate, there were a lot of people around, and he was very patient with them. He was very giving. He was very. I can't think of a single trait that I found in any way unpleasing. I think it must have been very different for his wife or mistress or children or people who were extremely close to him, because life with a genius is never easy. But to my mind, I mean, absolutely no complaints of any kind.
When you say he would feed off his friends, what do you mean?
I mean that he... If you spend a day with Picasso, I said this I think to somebody recently that he would show you his recent work. You would go off and have lunch with him in a restaurant in Cannes or wherever it was. You'd come back. You might be asked to stay on for dinner, and you'd have a marvelous time. He would be the most generous and host, generous with his time and his attention. But at the end of the day, the group of people would suffer from collective nervous exhaustion. He'd taken their energy, and with it, at the age of whatever it was, 78, 80, he would stride off into his studio and work all night on your energy.
Well, what does that mean, that he would take your energy?
It meant that, in some curious way, he would get an emotional response out of people. He would use different methods with different people. I mean, the love, passion for his work, whatever it was, he'd get whatever it was, and he would somehow use this. All his life, he'd done this. Particularly, of course, he got this out of his wives or his mistresses, but also out of his friends. It was very important to get this sort of tremendous surge affection, of love of his work, of understanding, whatever it was. And this was something that fueled his furnace.
Paloma Picasso, did you experience that too?
Well, I think, you know, being his daughter, I would see him on a more, you know, day-to-day basis when I was with him, which was not all the time, because from the time that I was 4 years old, I started living in Paris with my mother and would spend the holidays with him, which meant all the same, it meant 4 months out of the year, when actually, you know, you're not at school, so you do spend a lot more time with your parents at that time. And certainly I would with my father, because I did spend, you know, many, many hours just sitting next to him while he was working. And actually more of in a mute understanding than with a lot of talking. And he was giving in that way too. You know, I don't think you need to spend hours with your children telling them what to do and what not to do. I mean, you can give them just that much by just, you know, being there next to them. And it was a very intense relationship. Everything about him was intense, and he created intense emotions in people. Again, I'm sure that it is much easier to be his daughter than to be his wife or mistress, whatever it was. He didn't really demand things from you, which he might have done in a relationship. He kind of provokes things in you and accept whatever you were ready to give him. He was also a lot of fun to be with.
You've both pointed out that he was much more difficult from the perspective of his wives and mistresses. Paloma Picasso, your mother, Françoise Gillot, wrote a memoir about life with Picasso that made him seem very, very difficult to live with. Did you...
I think any relationship is extremely difficult. I mean, think of your private life. You'll find lots of details that actually may seem very extraordinary if they were printed in a book.
Well, I mean, one of the things that John Richardson, even you point out in the first volume of your biography of Picasso is that his first wife, Fernande, he used to lock her up in the studio when he'd go out on an errand so that she wouldn't be able to go out. Paloma Picasso, I wonder if there were ever things that you didn't forgive him for about the way he treated your mother or other women in his life, as a woman yourself.
No, I never in my life entered in that consideration. I always believe, you know, I'm his daughter. I'm not to judge either other relationship. I mean, what's important to me is my relationship with him. I think I can't be responsible for my mother or my father in the way they dealt with each other. And actually, they also, somehow, neither of them have ever made me feel that way either, which I think is the best gift that they ever gave me. I never heard my father complain about my mother or my mother complain about my father. And I guess that's also what's given me stability. Even though we had kind of two houses, you know, one with my father and one with my mother, they were two different worlds. They were not opposed worlds because they were two, you know, artistic environments, and they were not antagonistic. Yet they were, to me, you know, two different worlds, and I never put them in competition.
My guests are Paloma Picasso, the daughter of Pablo Picasso, and John Richardson, the author of a new biography of the artist. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are John Richardson, the author of a new biography of Pablo Picasso, and Paloma Picasso, the daughter of the artist. A previous recent biography of Picasso by Ariana Stassinopoulos really dwelled on Picasso's misogyny. And I wonder how you both reacted to that biography. And if, John Richardson, if that's one of the things you felt you were correcting.
Well, it didn't seem really worth correcting. Uh-huh. I mean, it just seemed to me it was written by somebody who knew nothing about art, knew nothing about Picasso, had it in for him. It was written from a sort of bogus feminist point of view. It was very inaccurate, and it had absolutely no understanding. It was sort of gossip column stuff, that wasn't one of the ones I was even bothering to correct.
No,
I think I was only one little reference to her in a note, but... No, there were slightly more serious biographies which did need, occasionally erred, which I did try to correct.
Yet, in your chapter about Gertrude Stein, about Picasso's relationship with Gertrude Stein, you call him a lifelong misogynist.
Well, I think that he was. I think any Andalusian was born a misogynist. I think that's,
I think that's right.
It's born into them. I mean, machismo is an Andalusian word. It's an Andalusian phrase, and it involves a misogyny. And for better or worse, he was a misogynist, but it didn't stop him being incredibly tender with women, enormously loving of women, and women very loving of him.
John Richardson, you write that that Picasso, as a young man, told a student friend of his that in art one must kill one's father. And you say that this Oedipal maxim lies at the heart of Picasso's creative process. Can you explain?
Well, I think that the character of Picasso's father, was something that is very crucial in Picasso's life. Well, in all our lives, I suppose our father plays an important part. But, I mean, the fact that Picasso's father was an extremely poor painter, a very bourgeois man. I mean, I remember Picasso once saying to me about his father, "Il était bourgeois, bourgeois, bourgeois." And I think that at the same time, his father wanted to direct his life, wanted to turn him into a painter of religious subjects or historical subjects, whatever it was, genre painter, an art teacher like himself. And therefore, the father had to be, in a manner of speaking, destroyed. He had to get rid of his father in order to become himself. And I think this was an important process in his sort of emergence from this sort of chrysalis of academic training and paternal solicitude. And I think that this was, in the nature of things, it was a natural process that he had to, as it were, kill his father. I don't mean that he had to take a knife and stab him, but that he had to demolish his authority over him.
Paloma Picasso, did you ever go through a phase like that yourself, of feeling that to have your own identity, have your own name in the world, that you had to, you know, on a psychological level, kill your father?
Somehow I don't think so, because he was, it's actually strange that I never sort of went through this period. I had to, you know, I wanted, when I first started working, to actually just be Paloma and not Paloma Picasso. And the Picasso would always end up appearing everywhere. So I had to one day, you know, accept the fact that I would always be Paloma Picasso. And I could see that, you know, the further I went into the desert, I would always find somebody who'd say, "Oh, look, this is Paloma Picasso. This is Pablo Picasso's daughter." And coming to the realization of that, I just, you know, decided that there could be a life being Picasso's daughter, and that I, you know, I had to kind of find out who I was and not really worry about what other people thought. And actually, which is something that he told me himself when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I started to draw a little better. So I thought I would copy things. So I'd copy, you know, the Picassos in the house, the Matisse, some comic strip that I had. And very proudly, I went to show my father. And so when he looked at them, instead of congratulating me, as I thought he would do, he told me, you know, to just rely on myself, to not, you know, be afraid to be my own person, and that I didn't need to copy anybody, that I should just do, you know, what I had in me and try to be proud of myself on my own.
It sounds like you're both pretty close, that you've known each other for years.
We've known each other for years.
Yeah.
I love Paloma. She's always been a very good friend.
Some people would say that that's not a good relationship for a biographer to have with the daughter of the subject. No, really, because the closer you are to the family, the more protective you feel, the less distance that you have.
But I think that I'm not protective of my father. I think he can, you know, even though he's not, you know, with us anymore, I think he can defend himself quite easily. So I don't think that anybody needs to defend my father. And when I talk to John, I think we have a very, you know, we have a real relationship as friends, you know, whether actually, you know, he was a friend of my father or not. I mean, it's not the issue. We actually get along.
And I think we see Picasso in a similar light.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to one or two other painters of his generation, Picasso was, as I say, was a much warmer, nicer human being. I don't know why he's got tarred recently with this sort of misogynistic brush. He really, he was not nearly as inhuman in certain ways as one or two other painters.
Like who?
Well, I don't want to I mean, Matisse wasn't nearly as warm and attractive a human being as Picasso.
The thing is, he became, you know, such a star. And because he's such a star, apart from being this, you know, fabulous painter, his life is being scrutinized. And other painters, you know, of the 20th century, whose life was maybe actually, as you say, I mean, they were much more extravagant. You know, some other people had much more extravagant lives. The fact that we were always in the news, at least starting in the 50s, I mean, made everything seem like a big circus. But really, I mean, it's not, you know, it's, of course, I mean, not everybody becomes a noun by the time that she's 3 weeks old, like I did. But I mean, also, after all, he didn't have he didn't have such a strange life. I mean, things, you know, nobody, I mean, I think most people's life, if looked at it, you know, so closely, will appear to be extreme.
I thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Richardson is the author of A Life of Picasso, Volume 1, 1881 to 1906. Paloma Picasso is a designer and the daughter of Pablo Picasso and François Gillot. This is Fresh Air.